All right, for those of you who are in worship service on Sunday and you like catching at least that 1 hour Sunday broadcast via the radio, here it is, where we're still taking a look at the tremendous rewards for suffering well. Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Welcome to another episode of Spiritual Perspectives, where we are still looking into the rewards for suffering well. More of this next week. Pollution, no longer contaminated by any of mankind's sin, a new heaven, a new earth, a new holy city, New Jerusalem. But even greater than all of that, in all of that newness, God living with us, not just praying to Him and just hoping He hears from us, being able to see Him the way we see each other, that is a reward. We got to keep this conversation going. And as we were discussing last week, as we look at these rewards, we were looking at it from the perspective of, sure enough, long-range rewards. Worthwhile. Don't think that just because something takes a while to get to, that it's not worth it. Sometimes the things that have the greatest value are the things that we have to wait the longest for, and in many cases have to work the hardest for. Let's just be honest. Again, this is the program where for years we've been bringing you real talk about the real world, real talk about how life really is. And to be a Christian, that is not for the faint of heart. It is not for the lazy. It is not for the cowardly. It is not for the person who wants to throw in the towel as soon as things start to get rough. It's not for the person who wants to throw in the towel when things have been rough for some time. No. Real talk. Being a Christian and being faithful about it requires hard work. Let me give you an example. Psalm chapter 1 is a psalm that a lot of people love to get happy about, clap their hands about, say amen about when they hear someone else read it. But there's a problem. Listen to the first verse. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. There are a lot of folks who will sit in church and get real happy when they hear that scripture read. And that's just the first verse of the six verses in that psalm. That's just the first verse. Yeah, amen. The person who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, who doesn't connect, hook up with the wicked, connect with them, hear the wicked things that they want to plot against the righteous, plot against that which is good, strategize to try to bring someone down, not because the person they want to bring down is evil, but because they perceive the person they want to bring down as good. They perceive that person as someone pleasing to God, for whom God has a calling. And they decide they want to do everything in their power to prevent that person from fulfilling God's call on their life. So they start getting together and plotting ways to get in this person's way. And then they want you to join them. You join the church. And they check you out. They size you up. And they conclude, yeah, I think we can get this one. I think this one is weak enough. We can pull him. We can pull her into our circle. And get him or her to help us with our evil mission. We're going to pretend like it's a good thing. We're going to pretend like, hey, we're doing the service of God. And we know all the time that what we're up to is evil. But we're going to recruit as many people as we can. And so they approach you. A lot of people who clap and say, amen, amen, amen. When we read the scripture, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Will be approached by the wicked. And yes, I am including the wicked churchgoers. Remember, the Lord Jesus told us very clearly, very plainly, about the sower sowing and the farmer who had his field and he did his sowing and he sowed good seed. It came up as beautiful wheat. But then his servants went out to take a look at the field one day and noticed that there were a lot of weeds that had eventually come up in the master's field. Wanted to know, wait a minute, you planted good seed, wheat. Where did this weed, where did these weeds come from? And Jesus said, listen, this an enemy has done this. An enemy sowed those weeds. And he said, the field is the world. The wheat represent the saints sown by the Lord Jesus himself. The weeds represent the evil people put into place by Satan. That's what Jesus explained. Here's the thing. He said the field is the world. In the world, we have many religions, including Christianity. Christianity is not of the world, but Christianity is in the world. Therefore, the church, although those of us who are truly connected with Christ are in the world, we're not of the world. But to flip that, we are not of the world, but we are in the world. The churches that we attend are in the world. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? There was no part of the world that Jesus excluded when he said Satan sows his weeds. So even in the church, in the churches we attend, there are weeds planted. There are evil people who look like wheat, who will be identified as actually being weeds only at some point down the road. Some of us have identified some of them now. But in the end, the Lord Jesus said, hey, look, don't pull up the wheat. The servants are willing to pull up those weeds. But Jesus said, don't do it. The master said, don't do that. Because if you pull up the weeds prematurely, you may also uproot some of the wheat. So just let them both grow together. And at the end of the age, the angels will separate the wheat from the weeds, the true saints from the pretend saints, the hypocrites, the true saints from the hypocrites. And then the hypocrites will be thrown into their places in the lake of fire. So here we go. We have weeds growing in our churches along with the wheat. This is real talk now. And a lot of time, the weeds will approach someone who they know is either wheat or who they've watched for a while and determined is one of them. another weed. Either way, they try to recruit. Hey, look, we want you to work with us. Hey, look, we want you to do this to so-and-so. See if you can, and they'll start giving that person assignments that are designed in one way or another to do harm to one of the wheats. Wheats, the true saints. And so instead of saying, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm out. I'm not getting involved in that. That is not why I'm here. Some people will say that, but there are others, many others, who will say, okay, sure, I'll do it. Whether out of fear of being rejected by the weeds, or whether it's because in their hearts, they're still so in love with sin that they conclude that they'll really get a lot of pleasure out of participating in this wickedness. Blessed is the man, and they'll hear that sermon again. Somebody will read that scripture again. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And the wicked are some of the ones who will be applauding the loudest. Or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, will not associate with them and be a part of what they do. Blessed is the person who will say no to all of that. And they'll applaud. But some of those folks who applaud when those scriptures are being read are hypocrites who know that they are standing, sitting, walking where they should not be, and encouraging others to join them in that wicked journey. Get out of there while you still have a chance, while you still have time, before you miss your deadline. As I've said, God is not obligated. You need to read those scriptures and understand them and believe them. Stop believing just for healing of your bodies and for more money. When you read that God shares a principle in his written word that makes it clear that he does not give everyone until their last breath to be saved, you need to believe that. Now, I've shared numerous scriptural passages that prove that, so I'm not going to take the time to do that now. But you need to believe God when he shares those principles and lets us know. He may let us live another 30 years, and those 30 years, we're simply heading to hell, literally heading to hell. Because for many, God has already decided this person has crossed the line. Enough is enough. I will not give them another chance to ever be saved and to be brought into my presence when they die. When they die, it's already been determined they will be sent to hell. What I'm saying to you, whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whether you are middle class, whether you're male or female, whether you have great power on earth, only some power on earth, little to no power on earth, what I'm saying to you is, it is worth it to either stay out of that madness or get out of it and then stay out of it. And walk with the Lord Jesus. Let Jesus Christ be your master. Let him shape your life. Let him shape you. No matter what the others may say, with whom you part ways because you decide, I'm no longer being involved with that madness. The reward, if we will just be faithful, the reward from God will be eternal. And here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, you got to know this. We can go out and buy a brand new, beautiful home. We may even help design it and then hire an expert interior decorator who helps us furnish the home. We give him or her an idea of what we want, and when they finish, we look at that home and we know there is no way that we could have furnished the home the way they did. We could not have decorated that home the way they did. They trained for that, and it shows. And we are elated with our new home. Go to work, spend our 6 hours, 8 hours, 12 hours, whatever it is. And we can't get home fast enough. We're waiting to pull up in that driveway so we can see that beautiful, gorgeous exterior of our home with that great landscape. So we can walk on inside and see that beautiful interior and sit on a piece of that wonderful furniture. And we wish we could sit on all the pieces of furniture at the same time, but we got to rotate. Today, for right now, let me just sit on this sofa. Later on, I'll sit on the easy chair. And there we go. And 2 days later, still just elated about that house. And some people will tell you, months later, they're still seeing things about their house that fascinates them. But my guess is 5 years later, they're not going to be as excited about that house as they were the first 5 months that they lived there. We go out and we buy a brand new car. And we really like that car. We like the way the exterior, the body is designed. We like the way the interior is designed. We like the features of it. We like the way it rides. We like the way it drives. We really like that car. And we're excited. Getting ready to leave the house because we're getting ready to make a run to the grocery store. Can't get to that car fast enough. But 7 months later, the newness of the experience has worn off. And so the excitement of having that brand new car has worn off. This is the reason I mention that. As you study the scripture, you find that when it comes to what God is going to be giving to us that we will have throughout eternity, neither the newness nor the excitement of what he will give to us will ever diminish. In fact, as you study the scripture, especially in the book of Psalms, and God talks about some of the things that he'll be doing to bless his people throughout eternity. I don't mean in this temporary stage of life. I'm talking eternity now. What he will be doing for us throughout eternity will be bringing about ever-increasing bliss, ever-increasing joy, ever-increasing happiness. So you think about how something happened to you, and let's just say if you catch fire, for whatever reason, you see a person go up in flames, you can best believe that they're hurting the whole time. Person has something go wrong with their stomach, starts hurting. A minute later, they're still hurting. 10 minutes later, that stomach is still messed up. Something is going on. 30 minutes is still. And here's the thing. Very often, as the time progresses and they experience whatever that discomfort, that pain, that misery is, they don't become less stressed. They don't become less uncomfortable. They don't become less miserable over time. Very often with time, they become more and more uncomfortable. Even if they don't groan any louder, they feel as bad, or in some cases, worse as time progresses. Because what they have going on is bad, and its intensity does not necessarily go away just because it's been there for 30 minutes rather than 1 minute. And ladies and gentlemen, the people who will be in hell and then sent to the lake of fire will be experiencing misery and torment that will be with them forever, and it will never subside. The Lord Jesus said, the worm will not go away. Whatever the person is suffering in that case, That's what they will be experiencing, and it will just feel worse and worse. Can you imagine burning for 5 minutes? How about if you are given peace and joy? Now, I know we may not be able to imagine this now because we haven't experienced it. And sometimes it's hard for us to imagine what we have never experienced. But can you imagine being given peace and joy that not only never diminish in intensity, but what if you've experienced peace and joy completely uninterrupted? Completely uninterrupted. No phone calls. Just a steady, powerful flow of peace and joy in you, in your mind, in your heart, in your emotions. Peace with joy, just flowing. Do you suppose that when you have experienced that for 3 hours straight, that the third hour of that experience will be the same as the first minute or the third minute of that experience? No, ladies and gentlemen. It can be the same amount of peace, the same amount of joy, but being experienced all day, every day, without interruption. So you can imagine being burned all day, every day, for 5 days. Being burned from head to toe all day, every day for 5 years. Nothing but peace on the other side. On the other hand, nothing but peace and joy all day, every day. I'm telling you, that would be an awesome experience. Stay with me, back in just a few. I want you to hear Notando Hofi singing Yebo. She is a wonderful gospel artist from Africa. And she's singing a song named Yebo. And Yebo in English means yes. How many of us sing this song? Yes. Yes, Lord.